Well, brethren, we're here in Morrow Bay for the purpose of keeping the Feast of Tabernacles 2003 A.D. in accordance with the commandment of God, and certainly very happy to be here. It's good to see all of you who are here tonight, and all of you who are listening in. We're sorry that you're not here. It is I think we're going to have a wonderful feast. I know we are. But you're in our thoughts and prayers, and we just wish you were here with us. Many of God's people who had faithfully kept the feast for many years no longer observe God's festivals, but we are thankful to be observing this feast with you at this time. There are a number of reasons, brethren, that we are here, and I would like for us to review seven major reasons we continue to observe the festival known as the Feast of Tabernacles. The first that I have here, the number one reason that we are here keeping this feast is that God has commanded that we do it. And since He's commanded it, we will do it. Let's turn over to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 and verse 34. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work in it. Now this is a pretty good reason to keep the feast. But some will say, well, that's an Old Testament command. But we all understand, and we see in the scriptures, that Jesus Christ and the apostles kept the feast in the New Testament. And God's people, as we know, will keep this festival during the millennium. And we will, of course, be reviewing all of these things as we go through this festival. So as the sunset in the west this evening, and certainly we had a very beautiful view of that sunset, God's people, wherever they reside, began keeping this day, the 15th day of the seventh month, according to the commandment of God. That is reason number one we are here. The second reason we keep the feast is so that we remember that God required Israel to dwell in booths when they were brought out of the land of Egypt. We read that in here in this same chapter, Leviticus 23, and we drop down to verse 39. It says, also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast of the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month, and you shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths. And of course, all of us, brethren, whether we are native Israelite or not, we are all spiritual Israel. And so therefore, this applies to us, whatever our nationality or race or background is. So you shall dwell in booths that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Reason number three, brethren, that we keep this festival is that God has proclaimed this to be a day of rejoicing. And so we are here to rejoice before the Eternal. Let's look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 16. And beginning in verse 13. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress, and you shall rejoice in your feast. You and your son and your daughter, your manservant and your maidservant, and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates. The Feast of Tabernacles, brethren, is a time of great rejoicing. It is a time for us to stop and reflect on God's great plan and what He has in store for all of those who love His ways. When the children of Israel were delivered out of the hands of the Egyptians and came into the land, this was one of the first things they learned, as we saw in Leviticus 23. Notice also the account written in the book of Nehemiah. Let's turn over to that. In Nehemiah chapter 7 and verse 73. So the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, some of the people, the Nethinim, and all Israel dwelt in their cities. When the 7th month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. And so let's notice this. Let's go on down into chapter 8 and beginning in verse 1. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the 7th month. Understanding, brethren, is something that we all need to be thankful for, that God has given us understanding. He has given us His Spirit so that we are able to understand, because so many of God's people seem to have lost that understanding today. Verse 3, then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him at his right hand stood a number of people here. We won't read all those names. You can read them later. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and he opened it. And all the people stood up when he opened it. All the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And then all the people answered, Amen. Amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And also these other gentlemen here and ladies who may have been in that group. And the Levites helped the people. I guess this was mainly men. Helped the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. So they read distinctly from the book of the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Brethren, that hasn't changed. This day today is holy to your God, and therefore it is holy to us. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. This was on the first day of the 7th month, brethren. This was actually on the Feast of Trumpets when this is happening. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions, and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. Now on the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people, with the priests and Levites, were gathered with Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of oil trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. Then the people went out and brought them and made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house and on their courtyards, or in the courts of the house of God and in the open square of the water gate and in the open square of the gate of Ephraim. So the whole congregation of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun until that day, the children of Israel had not done so. And there was very great gladness. And day by day, from the first day until the last, from the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles until the last day, he read from the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the 8th day, there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manna. And so they learned, brethren, from the captivity, or when they had returned from the captivity, that they learned that they should be dwelling in booths, and so they sat under them during these 7 days. They had not done this since the days of Joshua. And as you notice there in verse 17, it says, And there was very great gladness. And in verse 18, we read that they read from the book of the law from the first day to the last. And they kept the feast 7 days. Isaiah speaks of the day we look forward to in fulfillment, brethren. Let's read of that in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 35, and beginning in verse 1. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The excellence of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful or fearful-hearted, Be strong and do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lamb shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. And water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Let's look also at Revelation chapter 7 and verse 17. Revelation 7 and verse 17. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. In chapter 21 of Revelation and verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. It's going to be a wonderful time, brethren, when these things are fulfilled. Let's look at Isaiah 51 and verse 11. Isaiah 51 and verse 11. So the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This festival, the Feast of Tabernacles, pictures a time of joy, brethren, and happiness. And happiness will be the order of the day. And we are here to observe the meaning of this day. We do this by rejoicing together during these days. Several things, brethren, that we might meditate on during this feast that will bring our thoughts in line with this idea of joy. You might ask yourself the question, number one, do I have a good relationship with God? Let's look at Job chapter 22. Job 22 and verse 21. Now acquaint yourselves with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. Yes, brethren, if we are close to God, as we talked about in the sermon last Sabbath, if we will just draw near to God, then we will have peace in our lives if we're close to him. Psalm 16 in verse 11. Let's begin in verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore, brethren. That's what we have to look forward to ahead. Question two, do I have a clear conscience in my relationships with God and with man? Let's turn back again to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 and begin in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, David writes, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your generous spirit, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. The question is, do we have a clear conscience in our relationships, both with God and with our fellow man? Because, brethren, we need to have that. Question number three, is my approach to dealing with others an approach that builds unity? Look at Psalm 133. This was one of Mr. Armstrong's, maybe perhaps the favorite of the Psalms for him, from what I remember him saying. Verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard, that the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, live forevermore." And brethren, that's what we are looking forward to live forevermore. And the fourth question in relation to this point, am I willing to invest what it takes to have joy in my life and to give joy to others? Let's look at Psalm 126. Psalm 126. And beginning in verse 5, "Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." We want to have an attitude, brethren, where there's an attitude of concern for our brethren. You know, here's Mrs. Voss. She's not here with us tonight. And because of her health, her husband isn't here either. They both wanted to be here. And we need to be concerned about them. And we need to be concerned about each other. And we need to help give joy to one another. And this is a wonderful opportunity to do that, brethren, while we're here together during this 8 days. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61. And beginning in verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God." That day of vengeance, brethren, is coming soon. We spoke about it on the Feast of Trumpets. "To comfort all who will mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." And so we've been called, brethren, to be a help to one another, to help each other in our joy. And this festival is a festival of joy. And we want to remember that as we go through these days. The fourth reason that I have here that we are here is to receive a blessing. In Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16, verse 15. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you. The Lord your God will bless you if you are obedient to this command, brethren. It's a promise. He says, in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, God will bless you so that you surely rejoice. And so this is a time of rejoicing. The fifth reason, let's read Deuteronomy 16:16. Next verse down, it says, three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the feast of unleavened bread, at the feast of weeks, and at the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. And so we see here an opportunity, brethren, an opportunity to make an offering to God, an offering of funds that will be used to carry this word to as many people as God allows us to carry this message to. And certainly with the advent or with the modern invention of the internet and all that is available to us, television, which we're not on television right now, but there are many things that are proclaimed to be ahead of us that you're going to be able to witness right on television. I mean, just think about what you were able to see during the period of the war in Iraq recently. I mean, mankind has never been able to be involved to the point to know what's happening. But God tells us to watch. And so he's given us these blessings to be able to stay in touch with what's going on in the world and to know, brethren, the things that are happening, because it is as we see these things happen that we know that the time is fast approaching. The sixth reason that we are here to keep this festival, let's look at Deuteronomy 14. Deuteronomy 14 and beginning in verse 22. He says, you shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces each year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God. This is talking about a separate tithe. Not a tithe that you give the church. Not a tithe that you give to the poor. But a tithe to be used in honor of God. To be able to attend his festivals. And to be able to participate in the events, because God says that we're to come together and we're to share with one another. And if there are those amongst us who don't have, then we need to be sure they do during this 8 days. Because this is a time of sharing. He says, you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place that he chooses to make his name abide, the tithe of your grain and of your new wine, of your oil, of the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. Brethren, we want to learn to fear God, not because he is a harsh God, but because we know what he is able to do. We know what his power is. And when he says to us, you keep my festival, we fear not doing that. When he says, honor your father and your mother, when he says, thou shalt not lie, when he says, thou shalt not covet, we fear disobeying those things. Because he is our God, and he is all-powerful, and he is able to give us eternity, brethren. But if your journey is too long for you, so that you're not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money, and take the money in your hand, and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And certainly he has chosen this year Morro Bay. And we're thankful for that blessing. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink. For whatever your heart desires, you shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household, and you shall not forsake the Levite who is within your gates, for he has no inheritance, no part, nor inheritance with you. We're here, brethren, to eat and to enjoy the tithe that we have saved for this purpose. And we are here to learn to fear the eternal always. That's a pretty important reason for us being here. And I know all of you understand and agree with that. And the seventh point then, in Deuteronomy 31, Deuteronomy chapter 31 and beginning in verse 11, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all of Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God, and to carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. We come to hear, brethren, and to learn to fear God, and to learn to keep his law. And so, brethren, this is a time that God has provided for his people to really get to know him and to get to know one another. And so he's provided this place for us. We have this opportunity to be together, to set the right example for one another, and to make this 8 days a real blessing for all who are in attendance. As Paul stated in the book of Philippians, we are here to learn to hold fast the word of life, so that we may rejoice in the day of Christ. Let's turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verses 16 Philippians I know what's in here. Philippians 2, and beginning in verse 16. Hold fast, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. That's the last thing in the world we want to do, brethren, is to make this run and to do it in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. And so, as we hold fast, brethren, to God's truth, we betray that soon coming event when the whole world is going to be able to rejoice with us. We rejoice today in the fact that God has called us out of this world at this time, giving us the opportunity of being first fruits in the coming kingdom. And look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. We can rejoice, brethren, in the fact that God is a merciful God, easy to be entreated, willing to forgive our sins, which are many, and which we continue to work on to eliminate in our lives. If and when we have a repentant attitude, God is willing to work with us. And so we must remember that we must keep that repentant attitude as we carry forth in the things we learn. We have much to be thankful for, brethren, and much to look forward to as Christians. We can be most thankful at this time because we have God's Spirit dwelling in us. Look at Romans chapter 8, Romans 8 and beginning in verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Sons of God, brethren, a lot of people would get upset if they heard us say that. But God says it in His Word, that if we do what we should be doing, God, and if we have God's Spirit in us, God now calls us sons of God. First Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1 and beginning in verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, was indicating when He testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. It's not offered to angels, brethren. It's offered to you. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Yes, brethren, we have much to be thankful for. We have much to rejoice about. But brethren, the real happiness and joy and prosperity pictured by the Feast of Tabernacles is going to come upon this whole earth under the righteous rule of Jesus Christ. Obedience to the spiritual principles of God's law and His revealed way of life is going to make for a very happy place to live in the world soon to come. The observance of the Feast of Tabernacles gives one the opportunity, brethren, to live abundantly for 1 week and a day. It's a commandment from God that we do this, even to splurge, that we may learn by experience, picturing the wealth that all who are considered worthy by Almighty God will enjoy and share with Him in the kingdom of God, which He will soon establish on this earth. So, brethren, let's look forward to this 8 days with anticipation. 7 days, which are established as the Feast of Tabernacles, and 1 day representing the last great day, the time for opportunity for all of mankind. And let's rejoice together in this feast.